You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You described yourself as a utility man.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody, welcome to Planet FPL. The world revolves around summer holidays now. Doesn't revolve around FPL, does it, James?
Introduce yourself, sweetheart.
My name's Serge.
And my name's James.
What you got to say?
Champions League, I'm having a laugh. Champions League, I'm having a laugh. I don't really care about anything else. Can we just talk about Tottenham for an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Listeners, see you in 90 minutes. Congratulations on getting into the Champions League.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Congratulations on getting the Europa Conference League.
Yeah, let's hope we don't get kicked out without kicking a ball like you did.
We never even got eliminated from that competition. So whether Roma or Feyenoord win it on Wednesday night, your phone's ringing as per usual. Are you going to answer that, aren't you?
Hello? It's a toothbrush. Correct. No worries.
Was that your wife?
No, it was not my wife.
Mate, you answered the phone. You said it's a toothbrush.
Yes.
Who could you possibly be speaking to other than your wife?
Should we do that first?
Uh-oh.
I got an electric toothbrush, which I bought from our friends at Amazon.
Yeah.
Fucking thing don't work, does it? It's probably half a year old or whatever. It doesn't charge anymore.
Okay.
So I went this morning onto Amazon and said, my fucking toothbrush don't work, mate. So they said, send it to us and we'll fix it. So I packed it all up ready and I sent one of the girls in the office to go to the post office to send it back. So I'm assuming the person behind the counter of the post office is like, what's in this?
Right.
And
blatantly, when the girl says it's a toothbrush, he's going to go, you're fucking lying.
Can you imagine if it was fully charged up, yeah? And then suddenly just starts going off. In it. He's standing there with his package. There's an electric toothbrush.
I think, I'm thinking for the poor girl who's taken this package for you, mate.
Yeah. So.
FPL, how'd you finish?
Do you feel good about Champions League? It's a bit of a funny one because.
No, I'm gutted, mate.
What are the advantages? You get a bit of money. I'll definitely get a bit of money. And you can possibly attract players. But do you reckon he'll sign anyone?
Yeah.
The only reason Mbappe signed his contract is because he said he wants Conte, because now he's obviously in charge of appointing the managers.
You know that that's not true, is it, Suj? Keep trying. He wants Zidane, mate.
Does he?
Yeah, so keep trying.
And you're not going to get very far in the Champions League, surely.
Probably not. As we know, we can't play twice a week, so it's probably problematic. It's good to be back in it. It's the level of football you want to be playing at. There's no expectation on Tottenham win the Champions League, is there? Of course not. It's a cup competition. Are you playing against the elite sides in European football, world football, basically? So
I mean, the expectation in 2019 was probably fuck all as well, to be honest with you.
That new stadium that Daniel Levy built wasn't made for Europa League football, mate. We need to be in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean, only four teams can be in it from this league, but I'm trying to fix that to six or seven.
It'll soon be five, yeah.
Well, maybe six or seven or eight, mate, in the way this.
It's not possible. You won't be able to get more than six in, I don't think.
UEFA will try.
I'm sure eventually one day we'll get there. It'll be six or seven, yes, eventually.
Indeed. As you alluded to, we got Conference League, which was, I say disappointing.
New listeners, Suj supports West Ham, in case you didn't know.
new listeners at this point in the season. Who's going to tune into FPL podcast?
Probably know that I support Spurs by now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and...
Why are you underestimating the power of new listeners?
Okay, if you are a new listener and you're on Twitter, just tweet at Planet FPL Pod.
We're shit at FPL, so they
might think... the first time I've ever listened to
They might think it's better to listen to us at the end of a season. we can't ruin their teams.
I think... to be honest with you, I don't. Is it defeatist to say that's probably that it's probably a decent level for us to play at next season, depending on what we buy?
In seriousness, West Ham qualifying for Europe again next year is a good achievement.
Yeah, but I mean, had they not invented this Conference League nonsense 2 years ago or whatever, then we wouldn't be playing Europe.
If you do well in it, I'll remind you of the fact that you called it nonsense.
Yeah, no, but like, they're just adding more competitions, right? So, no, I want to, like you, last year, when you went into the Conference League, you said, this is a competition we have to win.
Oh, well, yeah, of course, it's achievable, isn't it?
Yeah. And I feel exactly the same. Like, it's all well and good getting into the Conference League, but if we were in the Europa League, I would think, okay, we want to do well again and get far, and you never know who drops out of the Champions League. It might even be your lot. And, it's difficult to win the Europa League. There's some good teams in it. Conference League, I feel like, is a level at which we should be winning that competition. We have the capability to win that competition. So
it depends who else lands in it, doesn't it? Again, you can have some decent size drop out of the Europa League into that. So
this whole dropping out shit.
That, by the way, in the reforms of the Champions League, which most of us obviously hate, but you're not going to have that in the future.
Dropping down into competitions
isn't going to happen.
Yeah, because everyone gets which enough is, games.
It's
to
about
keep
the
happy.
Only positive out of it.
So I finished yesterday on 77 points.
I take it that's FPL. Suj did not win the Sky Manager of the Month for anyone who wants to know.
That's Wednesday's pod. It was. Do you know what? It was one of those where. And I think I saw a lot of people with this saying, give me back my free hit team or my wildcard team or pre-changes. I think I did net overall better with this team. I'm not 100% sure. I ended up, obviously, wildcarding, free hitting, whatever you want to call it. I decided to sell Trent and got Alisson in goal. I wanted to move some money around. So Trent and Robbo was more expensive than Alisson and Robbo. And I felt like I'm going to get the clean sheet points if they keep a clean sheet, which I really...
That lasted 2 minutes.
Three minutes. And then I can play Sessegnon, who is going to play, and it's cheap, right? And it gave me more money up front. So I ended up getting Sessegnon, Alisson, bought Sonny, gambled on Bowen, upgraded Martinelli to Saka, got Luis Diaz instead of Salah, got Callum Wilson, Harry Kane. So I made quite a few changes. Captain Sonny... that went fine. I think Sonny's returns is decent enough at 12 points. Callum Wilson was my star of the day, 13 points. He did well. Kane obviously returned as well. Robertson returned. Saka returned. 77. What's that give me gaming rank? 700,000. So not too bad. And I ended, I don't even know. Let's have a look. 113,061st.
Congratulations, Suj.
It's not bad. I think it is my highest ever finish. So, you know, making progress.
Not bad for an FPL part-timer.
Yeah, I got 2,495 points. 2,495. So that's 240 points more than my previous highest finish of 131K. So that's what?
As we discussed a couple of weeks ago, the points totals, because of the doubles and stuff, are so much higher this year.
But even last year, 2,266. So I'm at 2,495. So still more than 200 points more this year than last year.
And I think generally, because of people like Salah, half a million, mate. Like captaincy points have been high. I've seen people touching like 900 points for captaincy this season. It's insane.
Mental.
So that's why points totals are so high and stuff. I mean, the points total you've got, I mean, in most seasons is probably top 10K, but obviously everything's a lot higher this year in terms of what you would have needed points-wise. At 77 is a good finish, Suj. You beat me.
I think I'm just looking back to my free hit team. So I had Luka Dean and Cash, who combined for a goal and an assist.
You wouldn't have started them.
Maddison.
Who's your other defence that you had in your squad before?
Oh, well, Luka Dean and Cash was free hit, remember? It wasn't actually...
So you've actually got to go back to 36, haven't you?
Yeah, Rudiger, Trent, Robbo, Cancelo would have been my back. I would have started Rudiger, definitely, because obviously Watford.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nothing there.
You
wouldn't have had a lot there. Look at your forwards, Richarlison, Dennis and Pukki.
My forwards were dead-ended, mate, so...
Yeah. I finished on a 69, where he stopped laughing at the back, which is 8 points left than what's 8 points less than what Suj got. Essentially, you beat me because of Callum Wilson, I think, is the primary difference.
I felt like it was
up front, I didn't.
Wilson versus Havertz was the kind of debate when I looked at your team versus
Havertz.
Mine.
I can't believe I went with him, but at least he scored, right?
Yeah.
69 points. I had returns from Kai Havertz, Andrew Robertson, Saka. Why didn't he take the penalty, by the way?
I don't know.
Pissed off about it. I went with Kane, obviously our captain's Sonny. He had Nketiah and Cedric in reserve for if the two Chelsea boys didn't rock up and they pulled out 20 points. So if I'd have started Cedric or Nketiah, I'd have beat you. Do you know what? I don't really care. Right now, I finished overall 82,927. I near enough had a grey arrow yesterday with that score. So yeah, look, I was just trying to I knew I couldn't hit top 50k final day, so I was just trying to consolidate within the top 100k. So
yeah,
that's fine. I'm pleased with that.
Yeah, I think next season, if I don't miss two deadlines, I'm sure we'll get into our top 100k next year. Just gotta not miss. I think I missed two deadlines this year.
I can't remember you missing a deadline this season.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
would be unusual if you didn't.
There was the one in January, wasn't there? I can tell you the exact date because I was up at a work event in Coventry where I went to court. It was a Tuesday. There was games on a midweek set of fixtures in January
and
on a Tuesday. That was when a lot of people play the chip, the first bench boost or free hit or what have you.
What, game week 26?
Something like that.
When Salah went off against Leeds and all that.
I think
it wasn't a midweek deadline.
There was a
double game week if it was a midweek deadline.
No, it wasn't a double game week. I'm going to look back at exactly the week because it will tell you.
Late January, we lost at home to Southampton. I feel like you played Watford from memory. You're going too far back.
Was it November?
Well, November? No, I don't think you missed a deadline this year, mate.
I'm sure I did, mate.
I don't think the listeners even care at this point anyway.
I'm sure I did.
Should we talk about the games? There's not a lot
Tuesday,
to talk about.
30th of November.
Tuesday the 30th of November.
Yeah, that was the deadline I missed.
What did you score that week? Go to your game week history, be quick. What game week's that?
This is too complicated.
Yeah.
I've lost
well,
it.
You started
game week
this.
14. Arsenal obviously won five.
It's so just going back one by one. Go to your game week history.
Okay, yeah. Game week 14, 73 points.
Oh, you probably would have done worse if you'd made the deadline. What was your game week rank?
Possibly 1.3 million.
That's all right. What are you crying about?
Game week 23, what the fuck was that game week? That was a brutal game week.
29 points, nice. That looks really sexy. That was the Dennis week, wasn't it?
Yes. Captain Dennis for a minus two. Captain Dennis for a minus two.
You weren't alone, I did the same, mate.
Yeah. Let's rattle through some of these games and let's go to Twitter for questions because I'm sure people have chatted some good... nonsense in the questions on Twitter.
Yes, they've responded to my drunk video request for
42
questions.
42 replies at last check.
All right. So let's do the games quick and let's do some of them cues then. Arsenal, Everton, Suj.
5-1, smashed them.
Good morning, Arsenal fans. This is so typical Arsenal, isn't it? Pressure's off. I said this during the week. Pressure's off. They'll destroy Everton.
Is it? Yeah, but also Everton rotated a fair amount. No Richarlison.
Yeah, there was a
no
few of us were knocking about saying didn't think Richarlison
Pickford
would play.
Didn't play and so on and so on. So it was a rotated Everton as well. And Arsenal just did the business.
Yeah, I think some of the theme of what we'll talk about here is what our expectations are of these teams next season. And Arsenal would, I think, be in a similar position next year, trying to challenge for top four. They need investment. Certainly, they're obviously going to go and buy a forward in the summer. Everton are going to be in a dogfight again next season. Absolutely. And we've spoken about it a lot. They're going to have to sell someone and get some money into the club because they are on the borderline of FFP. We heard these reports.
Borderline.
We've heard these reports last week of Burnley and nothing's going to come of it, by the way, in terms of now. Burnley and Leeds appealing. I guess Leeds have dropped their appeal now. Yeah, Leeds don't care. It's just Burnley obviously appealing against the amount of money Everton put aside to say they were cost by COVID. I spoke to you about comparing Everton and Villa, and what Villa put as their losses through COVID was like nowhere near what Everton were putting for theirs and stuff in their financial results. So it will get investigated. I suppose it's a big slap on the wrist and probably more money fines. But yes, they've got to sell players. And therefore, I mean, you look at the league with, say, Watford and Norwich dropping out now, and you think, like, it's going to be harder again to stay up next year, is what you think on the face of it. Like, I think Fulham will do quite well, and Bournemouth will do all right. I think both Forest and Huddersfield shouldn't be underestimated, whichever one of them comes up. They've both got really good managers, those two teams. So Everton are going to be in a fight again next year. I don't see it being, like, I spoke about this before, I think Everton have got years of pain coming. I don't think it's a case of, right, they've stayed up, it was a terrible season, forget about it, next year they're pushed back for top half. I can't see it.
Agreed.
I can't see it. They'll be in trouble again next year.
Brentford 1, Leeds 2. Well, credit to Leeds for going and winning the game, albeit Brentford decided to get a man sent off.
We finished the game with 9 men because, I mean, Sergi Canos, idiot of the week, mate, scores, takes his shirt off, reveals his bra underneath, yellow card, and then straight afterwards he gets the clearest yellow card you'll see all season. It's a definite red card. Then Brentford used all their subs and they got an injury, so they finished the game with 9 men. So it was interesting watching a bit of it back last night, you know, in terms of where Leeds were at, because they're playing against 9 men. They know if they scored, they're probably definitely safe. But if they imagine if they shit the bed and lost against 9 men and conceded the goal and went down. So I think they were caught in a little bit of a crossroads. I was really pleased for Jesse Marsh, because I think if Leeds had gone down, the narrative would have been American coach. You know, there's the stigma around it and all that because of his accent and stuff. And I'm absolutely convinced that he's a good coach, actually. And he's walked into a difficult situation. We've obviously, following on from Bielsa was always going to be difficult. He wants to obviously implement his own ideas. The reality is, he's inherited a squad which, bar one or two players, isn't really Premier League level.
The problem is now that there's going to be a lot of people sniffing around those two or three players, one or two. Oh, it's Rafinha.
Rafinha, I imagine, will
Calvin
leave.
Calvin Phillips.
I'm not sure Calvin Phillips will leave.
I think people will be sniffing after him, though. And maybe someone might want to look at...
not going to be cheap. I think Rafinha will go.
And so what? It kind of makes you think that Leeds, prepare yourselves for another difficult season next year.
Yeah, it could be, because the quality levels of the squad is not...
where it
again,
needs to be.
You wouldn't look at them and go, oh, they're going to push back for top half next season either. No, the squad needs changing. But I'm convinced they've got a good manager there. And will improve with time. So difficult to follow Bielsa. Really pleased for, obviously, Andy Martin, because I know he was going through the ringer yesterday. And he won the Correspondents League. He held on. Johnny Pringle nearly got him back on final day, but he did hold on to win it. So it's broke the curse of whoever wins the Correspondents League, their team wins the league. That curse is finally broken. I'm pleased for Andy. I know we got a lot of Leeds followers. I got a bit of stick because I said on my stream on Saturday night that I would prefer Burnley to stay up, and we'll talk about them in a second, purely because they won't come back, I don't think. We'll talk about them in a sec. For Brentford, brilliant season. The challenge for them, obviously, next year is...
second season syndrome. I think people will... It's very difficult to get yourselves up in the same way, second season syndrome.
Will they hold on to Eriksen? Is obviously going to be a big part of their summer and stuff. I don't think it's a definite that he goes somewhere else, because I think he probably feels a little sense of... like, they gave him the opportunity.
Yeah.
He might want to pay it back and do another year or so.
But
there,
he's I think he's not the only player that people will sniff around at Brentford. I think their model is get him in, build him up, make a big profit, get him in, build him up. And if people come in with offers for other players in that team, David Raya, Norgaard, even Tony or Mbeumo, if someone thinks, you know what, we need a striker, then they may lose players. But I think the one thing you know with Brentford is they ain't going to let them go cheap, right? They're not going to get mugged off on any
Brentford won't
players,
get bullied so. Into nothing. Nah. So if they value, let's just say they value David Raya at 25 million, I don't know, I'm just plucking something out of the air. Unless someone is like offering 30 million or so, they won't entertain it. They don't care.
No, exactly. Unless they've got contract issues.
They will. And to be honest, if they get an offer, say they value David Raya at 25 million, if someone comes in with an offer at 30 million, they'll sell. If that's how they was to value it, because they'll go, well, we're getting more money than what we think the player's worth. That's how their model works and stuff. And they'll reinvest that. I think they're an interesting case to see what happens to them next year, because obviously the way they work in the transfer market and stuff, we know how they work, this money ball kind of strategy they have. I feel like they could improve next year, but this second season is always so much tougher for teams who come up. People know what they're about now, right?
Brighton 3, West Ham 1. Disappointing for West Ham, obviously, with Palace beating Manchester United. The opportunity to get into the Europa League was there. But ultimately, what I thought would happen didn't, in that West Ham had something to play for and would show the desire and didn't.
Did you get well beat? Was it a fair score?
So the first 10-15 minutes of the first half, Brighton came out on top, high energy, did what Brighton do, played really well, didn't get their noses in front. And then the rest of that first half, we controlled quite well. We passed it side to side. Build-up play was decent. Got the goal from Antonio. Great finish. Second half, you think, okay, half-time, you've gone in with a lead. Brighton just came out as if like they were the ones that had to win the game in the second half, and we didn't. They came out with intensity of, like, if we win, we're getting Europa League, whereas we didn't. And, yeah, didn't deserve it in the second half.
Did Nobes play?
Excuse me. Nobes came off the bench. And that's it now. No more notes.
What price do you think Jarrod Bowen next year?
FPL?
No. What price are you selling him for?
Real life.
No, FPL, yeah. What price do you think?
I think he'll come in at 8.
I think that would be very good value still next year if he's 8.
But I think, again, it depends on who and what else is around him a little bit.
8.5, I think. Probably. If he's below 8, he's going to be a super asset again next season.
Do you know the one to keep an eye on? I think if we buy Emmanuel Dennis, and he gets mid, I don't think he'll come in the game expensive. So he might be like 5.5-6 million
still.
He ain't
going to be first choice for you, mate.
Yeah, but, you know, Antonio will get him, put his hammy or something, won't he?
Nico's nodding like Emmanuel Dennis will be first choice.
Look,
I don't think he would be, mate.
I don't think he would start the season as first choice, but I just think don't rule it out. Let's talk about Burnley 1, Newcastle 2. Callum Wilson!
Yeah.
Doing the business, eh?
Yeah, him and Tony were the two forwards at that price bracket that were really a consideration for me this week. I thought he was so good against Arsenal last Monday, considering how long he'd been out. Fitness-wise, looked great instantly. This was always going to be a difficult game for Burnley. I thought they'd get beat. I thought they'd stay up because I thought Brentford would beat Leeds as well. Nathan Collins, who's done really well for them lately, he's had a fucking shit the bed moment, mate, with the handball. Oh, what is he thinking? So bad. At the end of the day, the lack of quality has caught up with them. And as I said, the concern for Burnley, and I know a lot of people want to get rid of Burnley because of playing style and stuff like that, Burnley aren't coming back.
They've got real problems now. Yeah, loaded with debt. Yeah. The academy's getting downgraded. I've seen a lot of bits and pieces on Twitter that 100% just paint a horrible story.
Jack Turfy Topper, he wanted to obviously do a pod with us when Dyche got sacked. There was a lot of obviously anger from Burnley fans. Then they had this brilliant run under Michael Jackson. I presume he won't probably get the job full time now. They'll probably appoint someone else. But they're in a real unstable financial position where I actually think they're more likely just to fall down the leagues than come back. It's a little bit of a scary time for them. That's why I would have preferred them to stay up, because as I'd said on my stream Saturday night, I think if Leeds had gone down, they'd come straight back without too much of a fuss. I don't think these are going to come back. And you know what? Burnley have brought something very different to the league over the last few years. There's always been something to talk about with them, whether you liked or disliked their playing style. You knew if you went to Turf Moor, you were in for a game and stuff. It was always a go there, win and leave as quickly as you can. Subject to weather, of course, obviously. I love it up there. I will not miss going to Burnley. But I do feel for people like Jack and Jimmy Claret FPL, who obviously follows us and stuff, is a great bloke as well. They're in for a difficult future. Newcastle's, on the other hand, is obviously going in completely the opposite direction.
I think the feel-good factor around the club is there. I think they've just had such a good second half of the season, and you know they will buy at least 3 or 4 good signings this summer.
Do you think?
I think next season they're going to go into it with great confidence.
I liked in Eddie Howe's interview after the game that he didn't even beat around that. He's like, yep, we're adding.
Yeah.
We're going into the transfer market.
No shit.
No shit. But he was honest about it and stuff. They've done really well. I think Gomez, I've said a number of times, absolutely super player. And to be fair, some of the players that they got in January hasn't worked out for them in the immediate, in the sense that, say, Kieran Trippier's obviously missed most of it through
injury. Yeah, he worked out when he played.
He's a great signing for them.
He just didn't work out when he didn't play. But what I'm
saying is they haven't actually had a lot of him so far. Chris Wood didn't really work out, did it? It was basically cover for Wilson.
Yep.
What are they going to do? Move him on to somewhere else? Or do you stay about the squad? They're probably going to want another forward, aren't they? Do you think Wilson's good enough to be their forward if they're going to push Callum
Wilson
for Champions League and stuff like that?
I mean, when Bournemouth went down, had we bought him, I would have been happy. I think he's a good striker, Callum Wilson. He needs to stay fit. He doesn't stay fit enough. He does get too many injuries, does Callum Wilson. But as a finisher, I think he's good enough.
Longer term, once they want to hit the heights of finishing top four, and I don't think, I know a lot of people bringing up tables and kind of second half of the season, I think they would have finished third or fourth, which is amazing considering, what was it, first 13 games? They hadn't won a game or something. Incredible how they finished. I don't think top four's realistic for Newcastle next year. I think it's possible. I don't think it's realistic. I think aiming for top six is genuinely probable. I think if you'd look at them right now and go outside the greedy six, you could definitely make a case for them being the best of the rest next season. And being the ones that, you know, if someone was to break the ceiling and challenge next year and go, say, beyond yourselves, it would be them.
Yeah, agreed. Chelsea 2, Watford 1. We joked about, is it Ross Barkley that's going to get the minutes and fucking scores a goal, doesn't he? And not only that, like Kennedy was one that I looked at in Sky Fantasy. Because when you're like, okay, let me just check the lineups. Let me just pick the most left field of them all. All right, Kennedy's starting. He's going to play as a wing back. He's cheap enough. I've got to do something different. Just punt something completely random. And they are completely random. But
we knew that Chelsea team yesterday was going to be random in terms of what the selection was. It was going to be a tough call.
Wipeout, man. They deserve nothing for letting Watford score. They deserve nothing for letting Watford score.
Can I just say, I did fair credit to the Watford fans, because when they equalised, that looked like a real limbs moment behind the goal. So good for them. It obviously didn't last more than a couple of minutes, because obviously Barkley then went and obviously scored the winner. Chelsea, I think next year, a real interesting one to watch. I feel like it could go either way. I feel like they could end up, they obviously need to reinforce defensively very strongly. But I feel like if Tuchel can do that properly, he's still a top manager. And they're still the most likely one to push City-Liverpool, it feels. But I also feel like it could tail off where they drop out the top four.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rudiger gone. Aspi gone.
The big players, talking about leaders of characters and stuff as massive. Well, not easy to replace.
Massive.
So Thiago Silva staying on, which is really important, but you can't expect 38 games out of him. So if you're going to continue playing a back three, they need two or three new defensive
I'd like players. It'd be good if the likes of Shalabar can step up and play consistently. Malang Sarr can step up.
That said, I mean, Ben Chilwell come back yesterday, which is great to see. Who knows how Chelsea's season might have panned out if Chilwell and James had been available for him throughout the season. Because I think there was that period when they won the game at Leicester in the autumn with Chilwell and James playing as the wing-backs. And you thought, you know what? With those two at wing-backs, they can really push City and Liverpool to the limit this year. And I think injuries is the reason why they didn't. They didn't consistencies. Obviously, all the background stuff hasn't helped recently. The deal for the club hasn't obviously gone through yet. And it's got to in the next 7 days or so. I'm 99% sure certain there's not going to be a problem there. Yeah. It's Todd Boehly, is it?
Boehly.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace 1, Manchester United 0. I saw a great article, headline. I
love that you said that, and listeners won't know this, but you just read that out and Nico just laughed. Which I think kind of sums up United season.
I saw a headline. I can't remember whether it was on Athletic or BBC. It was like, Erik ten Hag oversees Manchester United making it into the Europa League. And
congratulations.
I'm like, he watched them lose a game of football. You know what I mean? It's like they got Europa, we didn't win. And fine, yeah, they qualified for Europa. I'm not trying to take it away. But the way that headline is like, as if they've gone and won a game to get into the Europa League. They did it through through others' results. And obviously they did well enough throughout the season.
Absolutely fantastic
assist. No one's surprised by this.
Absolutely fantastic assist from Bruno Fernandes. What a pass that was for Wilfried Zaha. Another moment that encapsulates United's disastrous season. This is their worst points total by a mile. I think I saw they lost the last six away games or something. I mean, it's just unthinkable that a Manchester United team can, and I know some of those games have been quite difficult, but that's just unthinkable that they could go on that sort of run. He's got a mountain of work to do there, Ten Hag. It's not a quick fix.
I think his blessing is that everybody knows how shit they are, so that there's no expectation. I think he's coming in with the lowest expectation of any of the managers.
When we did the pod on him about a month ago, like we said United fans have, like, if you're expecting United to challenge for the league next year, it's not happening.
Nah.
This is going to take some time, and he needs to be given time. He's a very good coach, but he's going to need some time. United fans are going to have to be patient. Palace still managed to miss out on the top half finish. They always just miss out, don't they? Like every year. But they've had a good season. That's a really good start for Patrick Vieira. Can they build on it is obviously the challenge. Will people... I suppose Zaha stays there now. We've spoken about it before. Who wants him now?
Yeah, and you've got young players in and around him.
They have got good young players.
I think like this time last year, when Vieira coming in, I thought Palace might struggle and be in and around the drop. But I think going into next season, I don't feel like that at all. They'll want to try and maybe do something for Gehi. Maybe Gehi goes back to Chelsea. Is he on loan?
No, it's permanent.
Was it permanent?
Permanent. Gallagher obviously would go back.
Yeah. But so then Gehi Anderson, you feel like they've got defence there. They need to buy a goalkeeper.
Tyrick Mitchell's good. They've got a couple. Obviously, Ward and Klein compete for right back. I think at some point they're going to want
good
another
attacking
goalkeeper.
Players.
Eze's obviously just come back very recently, get a full pre-season of him. So people think, oh, you need a Gallagher replacement. I mean, Eze's a very different player, but I hold a belief that Eze's going to end up as a midfield player, basically. And he has played that role a little bit for Palace. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll invest again. They're not ones who I think, you look at certain clubs, you think, could you, like Wolves, who we might talk about in a minute, you think, well, if they start badly next year, and if they don't do the business in the transfer market, might have a really bad season. I don't feel like I can see Palace dropping into that sort of problems next year. But I also find it difficult to envisage them kicking on and being that club that can push the top six.
Leicester 4, Southampton 1. I think Leicester will look at the last 2-3 games of this season and just think injuries have really screwed them up this year. Because you look again, Vardy, Maddison, Barnes, all on the goal and assist sheet. And they've only had their defence back more recently with Fofana and stuff. You've got to kind of just write this season off, really, and go again. You're talking about Newcastle challenging the top six. I mean, West Ham will be in and around. Leicester will be another club that will be in and around. It's going to be competitive
in
around
the end, they finished eighth, which looks all right.
Mad.
Yeah. They were 14th like 10 days ago or something, weren't they? So it was really tight in those positions. They've obviously ended with some good results. 5-1 last weekend, drawing at Chelsea, obviously the 4-1 again. Those who've had Vardy and Maddison the last few weeks, I mean,
cleaned up.
It's probably been the difference, really, in terms of two great differentials have been doing the business for a few games now. I've not seen any of it, Suj. You had a Maddison
in
midweek, didn't
you?
Both
in midweek.
Last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done the business. Another one, I don't know where they're at in terms of what the expectations are. I find it difficult to envision them getting back into the top six again next year. That ceiling's so hard to push through.
It really is.
And you've got Newcastle coming now.
And I think they're going to obviously lose Yuri Tielemans in the summer. Which would be unless Leicester can do a PSG and offer him like ridiculous money and let him pick the manager and name the stadium after him and everything else. Like, I think that's going to be a difficult one to replace. I mean, Tielemans hasn't had his best season, let's be honest.
No, he hasn't.
So it's easier to kind of stomach. But, I mean, if Tielemans goes and they get money for him, they could do worse than go to Leeds and spend all of that money on Calvin Phillips or something like that. I think they'll replace Tielemans.
Could you see Calvin Phillips going somewhere like Leicester? Can't see that, mate.
They pay the money, $50 million.
Would
Again,
they?
He's not a player that's going to get bought up like by any of the bigger clubs, I don't think. Well, Liverpool and City don't want him. Liverpool and City don't need him because they've Fabinho's and Rodri's at the
I
world.
I wouldn't rule them out from looking at him.
Yeah, but then you rule them out of looking at Declan Rice. So are you saying that they'd look at Phillips but not Rice because of the money?
Yeah, yeah. Phillips is not going to cost what Rice would cost.
No, I understand that. So if it's a case of they just think it's cheap enough that they can afford him, fine. But they don't need a defensive midfielder necessarily.
Well, City do, for example, because Fernandinho's leaving. And obviously, if Rodri's not about, there's gaping... Gundogan apparently wants to leave as well.
Does he?
Gaping hole. So City will definitely want to invest in that position. So I wouldn't be hugely shocked. And we know with them as well, like the player's second season, right? So if you have a year of him kind of playing with or off of Rodri, then he can obviously develop into the position in the future. So I'm not moving Calvin Phillips to Man City. I'm saying I wouldn't be shocked if they went and looked, although perhaps they splurged the budget on Haaland. I don't know.
They don't have to spend a huge amount on him. But Southampton, are they ones that are like, could sleepwalk into a shit season at some point?
Well, I think they've just sleepwalked into a shit season, haven't they? They finished on, 40 points?
Mm.
Bad finish. No one's going to nick Ralph Hasenhüttl off them this summer. I put the question on to our patrons on Slack last night on the Southampton channel, like, is he sackable? Like, would you be shocked tomorrow if Southampton weren't sacked?
No, I wouldn't be shocked. And I don't think it's because he's done a bad job with it. It's just progress.
I think he's been very good for them, but they do seem to have this annual where people start talking about Hasenhüttl as a potential manager for certain clubs. Think back to the win at Tottenham, the draw at Manchester United in late January, and people were asking, could Southampton push for like European place and stuff? And now they've ended up finishing 1 point clear of Everton. I mean, that's a disastrous finish, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's one. If he starts next season badly, I think he's in danger of losing his job and getting forgotten about. I do think he is a good coach, but I just feel like it might have run its course. Mm. I wonder if people like James Ward-Prowse might look. I mean, he's another one. Does he stay there?
He just signed his contract, didn't he, last year?
Did he?
He extended only recently. It might have been mid this season. But
if they get big money, they'll probably sell. And to be honest, they're an interesting case to follow as well because, what's his name? Rasmus Ankersen.
Mm.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
The guy was at Brentford.
Yeah, yeah.
He's obviously involved with...
new takeover that happened this year.
How they're running the club now.
The Serbians or...
I think so. Why don't we know that, Serge? That's useless information for people. At the moment, though, I would see them being in trouble next season. But they'll have a run at some point where they win like 4 or 5 games in a row and everyone thinks they're great. And then they have them and Brighton. They'll have 10 games where they don't win anything. I feel like they haven't won for ages. I feel like the only game they've won in the last 2 months was against Arsenal, I think.
It was a Serbian takeover.
There you go. Well done, mate.
Let's talk about the two games that decided the title or didn't. I mean, you asked me last week, right? Is there anything Villa can do to get at City? Oh, didn't they just 2-0 up? You're thinking, this is it. Are they going to shit the bed? I think we all thought. I switched off West Ham and moved to Liverpool because I wanted to see Liverpool pelt Wolves to try and get a goal.
Because you thought City had lost?
Yeah, I thought City were going to. No.
And you'd given up on West Ham?
I thought there was a chance. I wanted to see some drama. Last day of the season is what it's all about, right? So I thought, I didn't think that City had lost it. You can't write them off. No way you can write them off. But I wanted to see Liverpool like, need to get a result. And it didn't last very long because from the second goal that the Villa scored, I don't even know how long it was, but seeing this goal alerts was from 2-1 to 3-2 in five minutes, 30 seconds
or so, wasn't
it? Ridiculous. So when that happened, at that point, I was just like, okay, just give them the trophy because they deserve it. For that level of intensity and what they can do to teams, like if they want to turn the heat up, you're fucked, basically.
So, obviously, I was at Spurs last day of the season 2012 and didn't really have our eye on what was going on. But obviously, technology is now a lot better than it was 2012 in terms of things like apps and being able to see the scores straight away. I didn't have a lot of battery on my phone. And I heard someone say about 20 minutes ago, City are 2-0 down. I was like, what? And I knew they would lose him, but I thought I'd turn it around. Then you hear it's 2-0 and you think, oh, my God, they really have fucked it. Like, no way. And I can't imagine the emotions that City fans are going through. And then the fact, obviously, Liverpool weren't winning either.
Mm.
You're thinking, there's no way, surely. Everything we've said about these two teams and their consistency, could it possibly end that City got beaten and still won the league as well? Because Liverpool were never top for a minute yesterday, were they?
No.
City pulled it back before Liverpool went in front. can't imagine what the atmosphere must have been like at Anfield when they heard Villa gone 2-0 up. They must have thought at that moment that they were winning it. They must have. Guardiola made some real... Are we talking about Liverpool game or the City game? I fucking talk about both of them, bollocks.
Both together.
Guardiola made, and I've obviously not seen a lot of it because I was at, obviously, Norwich. Guardiola made some key tactical changes where he bought, and he spoke about this a lot in his interview afterwards, about bringing Zinchenko on, moving Cancelo back to right back. I was really surprised when I saw Fernandinho was in the team in the first instance. Because we spoke about the idea that people like Watkins and running in behind and stuff could give them some trouble on the day. But they've done it. And Gundogan, who, I mean, that might even turn out to be his last appearance for City. He's over the last couple of years become a really interesting FPL option because of this late running into the box. They changed the way they played in the latter parts of the game. And actually, Guardiola deserves credit for seeing the problem and fixing it on the pitch. For Liverpool, amazing effort again. Obviously, they've still got the Champions League final to look forward to. These two teams will batter each other again next season. I wonder if it focuses the mind for Liverpool like it did a couple of years ago, where they come out the block so hard at the start of next season. When Liverpool won the title, didn't they win the first 12 of 13 games in a row or something? I feel like going into Christmas, they'd won every game bar a draw at Man United or something. I wouldn't be surprised if they start really hard and fast next year, Liverpool.
Salah still isn't signed.
Well, Real Madrid now have got a load of money to piss about with. They're going to go. They're going to go for a big name, aren't they? You know they are.
Yeah.
I suspect they'll probably end up with Neymar. Is my instinct actually, but yes,
Neymar to Real.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, no. Nico's tight end. Listen, it's all about money, mate. If they can't, then yeah. But would Salah go?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a guarantee. Does he want that challenge or does he want to stay in the Premier League? Yeah, but I don't think Liverpool aren't offering him nothing, mate.
City? Well, Wolves, sorry. Let's just touch on Wolves.
I think
Neves could go.
Yes.
I think there's a few that people could sniff around.
They're most likely to be sell to buy.
Jimenez could go.
To be honest, unfortunately, Raul Jimenez has dropped off a lot this season. Obviously, it's partly down to the head injury, of course. So there's rumours about him possibly going back to Mexico even, actually, in Raul Jimenez's case. I think they're in trouble next year. As in, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in a relegation fight, actually. I think the best thing he can do, Bruno Lage, everything we learned about him last summer was that he wanted to play a back four. He doesn't think he's got the players to do it. I think he needs to get the players to do it, to give it a fresh feel and start like a fresh new team next season and go to what we think is his preferred system of a back four. And it might start fresh and then it might have a good season. I feel like if Wolves don't reinvigorate that squad this summer, I wouldn't be surprised if they're in a relegation fight next year, honestly.
Villa? Well, City, obviously, they bought Haaland. They're going
to should be said, by the way, huge credit to those two teams yesterday, Wolves and Villa.
Yeah.
For actually going there and
making a fight of it.
I mean, to be honest, at 1-0, we saw it this morning, the chance then Donker missed to make it 2-0, like, incredible. And then Liverpool would have been in the same position.
Save points of Alisson, mate.
To be honest, Alisson regularly gets save points. It's actually an interesting discussion point is for perhaps a longer term thing that Liverpool allow shots. They allow shots on their goal intentionally to give Alisson a clear sight of things. And it's one of the reasons why he does pick up save points because they trust him to make the saves and that. And that's why he's a much better FPL asset than Edison nearly always. The problem is it's not who you want as your third Liverpool player. It normally feels like a waste. But yeah, full credit to Wolves and Villa for the way they played yesterday. Villa probably feels like maybe done their main business. There's a lot of speculation around John McGinn at the moment. And I wonder if they might need to balance something, having already committed to the Coutinho transfer. They obviously spent a little bit, mainly the Grealish money, we know, last summer. I don't see them doing too much with the squad. You obviously had like Luca Dean coming in January as well. Big season for Steven Gerrard. They could go either way next year. I've probably envisaged them finishing in a similar position, probably in mid-table. Got some good players. They're the sort of side, I think, if they get it right on the day, it can be really dangerous against anyone. But I also feel like they have...
Inconsistency, it's going to be there.
At the moment, yeah.
Last but not least, obviously, you went to Carrow Road. I mean, they're not good, not rich, are they?
They're really bad. They're really bad. And it does make you wonder, like, why there was any stress yesterday. I mean, there wasn't a lot of stress. It was only, it was, to be honest, it was more Tottenham was the stress. It's like, can Tottenham, as we said on COTC.
You scored early
if,
enough.
If anyone can cock it up, it's us. And of course, yeah, you get the first goal. Takes the, I mean, to be honest, we could have won by more than 5-0. They rank defensively really bad. Must say, Pukki, his movement off the ball is really good. He's a Premier League forward. And Mark says this all the time, FPL Badger, is like, that put him in another good team is definitely Premier League level. Be interesting. If he goes, they'll really struggle.
I think they'll struggle anyway.
But they know the league and know how to get out of it. Dean Smith, as manager, knows how to get out of it as well. I think that they've, let's say, sleepwalking. I mean, they've just not done anything. We got to the point, everyone had written them off all season. Then they had that win at Watford, and it was like suddenly they were 17th. And it was kind of we're all laughing at ourselves going, why have we written them off? They're actually out here. I think people forget there was a stage where they actually got out of the bottom three. They've done nothing. I don't know how many points they've got since the Watford game. It feels like maybe like 5 or 6 or something. The injury to Adam Eder at the end of January finished the chances they had, because they'd put together the couple of wins, the Watford win and the Everton win, and he was proving a really good foil for Pukki, where they'd changed the system, where Eder was basically playing like a number 10. And his injury, straight after the January window closed, finished them off, really. They look, I mean, watching the game yesterday, I'm just looking at it going, this is not a Premier League team. There's nothing there you'd think I want to buy from that team other than Pukki would be Premier League level. They played the back five, didn't make a difference. What Tottenham did really cleverly yesterday was definitely a little change up of the tactics, and you can see it in the first goal. Højbjerg and Bentancur making real over the top runs in behind. Obviously, watching,
you're probably thinking we don't need to defend against these lot.
There was a little bit of that in terms of, I think it was a cute thing from Tottenham. And I think that's why perhaps Tottenham are being linked with players like John McGinn, is in terms of the next stages you want from those two midfield players. Between them, Højbjerg and Bentancur are not going to give you a lot in terms of attacking returns. That might sound daft when Bentancur's got 2 assists yesterday. But in terms of goal output, what they're going to get for you in a season? 5 tops, probably. They're not. So if you can add, get that pairing that can get you 10, that's a difference of maybe another 5-6 points over the course of a season, right? So both of them were doing it. You wouldn't have seen this if anybody's only kind of seen the... You're right there, Serge?
Yeah.
Serge just shut his laptop on his mic somehow.
It's all right, it's all right.
The little shitty clips on Match of the Day don't give you anything other than you've probably seen the goals from the game. But before Bentancur run through, a couple of minutes earlier, end up with a chance for Højbjerg blazing over and stuff. So it could have been the other way round. I don't know why he didn't shoot. Really annoyed me at the time. He's going through 1-1. He's got a shoot and he plays a ball back to Kulusevski, which actually becomes a harder chance. Thank goodness that he scored. And then they shit the bed trying to play out from the back for the second goal. And then obviously at that point it's finished. We could have got many more. And obviously, once the third had gone in, Kulusevski had walked around the goalkeeper and managed to fluff his lines. Because I think as he walked around Krul, he thought, oh, I've got to give it to Son. And it was laughable how many efforts Son was having in those last 20 minutes. So there was a period between the third goal and obviously his second goal, the fifth. It was laughable. I don't know how many shots he had yesterday, but they were just trying to put it on a plate for him. Again, you wouldn't have seen it, but actually, his first goal, where Lucas plays a delightful little flick in behind for him, 60 seconds earlier, he goes through 1-1 and Krul saves it. So, I mean, he could have easily had a haul yesterday. The other thing you wouldn't have seen, and you've probably not even heard about it, he could have been sent off.
Two-footed tackle?
I haven't seen it back on the TV or anything, but basically, he went to close someone down and he slipped. Because he definitely slipped. But as he slipped, like he took the player out. I think it's one of them. If the game was more on edge or something, they'd have looked at it. That's how it felt to me. And again, I haven't seen it back on the TV. But as soon as it happened, I went, "What? He's reckless in a way. He didn't mean it, but he turned out reckless. And he could have been sent off, actually, I think. What an achievement for him to share that golden boot and have no pens.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Decent.
Nico, you need to find that clip where I tipped him up for the golden boot in pre-season, mate.
We have no more games to discuss. We have a full week of content for you, and also next week for a couple of days, but then June will be hiatus. Tomorrow, you are speaking to Benny.
Benny Blanco's joining me on the pod.
Many will know Benny Blanco from Twitter with his puns.
He's the comedian of the FPL community, indeed, isn't he? Well, he thinks he is anyway. I love Benny.
Good. I'm sure he'll bring a few jokes to the show tomorrow. And if he doesn't, well, then the pressure's on, Benny. You've got 24 hours to figure him out. It's disappointing.
We're going to be talking about...
He's the architect of North v South, which is this Saturday, the big Game Week 39 match. And I'm sure you'll learn more about that and how you can donate to that. Wednesday, we'll wrap up the Sky season. Unfortunately, our friends Dave and Neil didn't get all the way, but honestly... Like just getting second and third is such an achievement. It's hard to appreciate when you feel like you're so close to first. But offer me second next season now and I'll take it straight away. So, yeah, great achievement for those guys. We'll wrap up my end of the season quest for a Nintendo 64. Thursday, we have...
People's poll. Topics undecided. We'll put a vote out on Twitter Wednesday morning, probably.
And on Friday, James will be live streaming another Q&A for you as well, but today we're going to get into some questions.
Go on then.
I'm going to tell people, I'm not going to sell Patreon. There's no point in signing up to Patreon now.
Yeah, sign up to Patreon. We've got our first ever this week, our first ever Planet FPL phone-in.
We're going to have a phone-in Patreon. So just sign up. If you sign up, you'll get this week's content and then you get a month off. You don't get
just
charged
say,
anyway.
Like, thanks for... the work this year. I see loads of people tweeting, I want to thank Planet FPL for what you've done this season with your podcast and stuff. Go on then, fucking sign up to Patreon.
Yeah, there
cheers.
We go.
Love you. Thanks. That's hit the like button on YouTube, subscribe, all that stuff.
James is so much better at selling shit when he's hungover.
Yeah, I'm not even hungover, I'm still drunk.
You should have come selling carrier bags, right? You were like, you want to thank me for this phone call, just buy my carrier bags.
I said this to you earlier. I'm really sorry that kind of I can't give you the detail on the other 9 games yesterday. I started watching Match of the Day at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was watching Match of the Day like I was shielding my eyes from the sun, trying to hold my eyebrows up so I wasn't falling asleep.
Matchsticks.
Then woke up and couldn't remember what I'd watched.
We have some questions on Twitter and we're going to answer some of them for you. Some of them we've covered off and some of them are far too serious for us to discuss.
I'll do a couple of serious ones.
No, maybe. Maybe. Like God. Dan Cole, big shout out to Dan. Thank you for your question. But it's like, what should be done to stop pitch invasions by Tim Pot clubs?
Tim Pot clubs.
I mean, it's quite a big topic of discussion. Maybe it'll get its way into people's bowl.
It might do. Can I give you a definition of a Tim Pot club? Definition of a Tim Pot club is a club that plays music after they score goals. That's going to upset a lot of people, and I don't care. If you play music after you score in the stadium, that's Tim Pot.
Listeners, you have your opinions on that. It's not even... It doesn't
at me.
Yeah, go on. obviously, being that this is an FPL podcast, we have lots of food-related questions.
Oh, not more food, please. I haven't had breakfast yet because you...
FPL folly.
I didn't need it after what I had last night. Well, you can all guess.
FPL folly. Barbecue pineapple, A or nay?
Barbecue pineapple? What, as in like pizza?
No. You can barbecue pineapple. You've never had it. Warm pineapple. It's a yes from me. It's nice.
I'm not big on pineapple anyway. So.
Pineapple's decent. What's your go-to snack that you absolutely love but know is shocking for you? A triple cheeseburger. It's a snack, isn't it? It's a nice little snack.
Basically, snack. Everything that I eat.
Nuggets. Flapjack. Chocolate. I think if they had to pick one, I mean, chocolate is it's not really a snack, but I treat it as a snack when I just eat chocolate.
To be honest, we tend to not have snacks in the house because we'll both be like that. If it's there, we'll eat it. If it's not there, we can't. Yeah. We stop trying to buy shit like crisps and chocolate and stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is you need treats for Harry and stuff. I mean, you will rob stuff from your kids, won't you?
Yeah. I paid for it. I'm not robbing. If I paid for it myself, I'm not robbing. Pilot Flame, favourite end of the season meal? I don't know if we've got one. Should we have a Grande Big Mac today for end of season meal? What? Okay, so...
The kebab I had last night was massive.
So there are questions. What did you actually eat? Like
this kebab was in a wrap, and honestly, it was like the size of my arm. It was huge.
All right, well, let's not have... Have you done German Doner kebab?
Oh, that's well overrated, that place. Shit.
You don't like it?
It's all right, but they don't give you enough meat. It's crap. It's well
decent.
Overrated.
It's pretty big.
Nah, bollocks to that. Okay. Rip off. Right, rip off.
Top five beers or lagers?
I tweeted this. I started drinking
Brewdogs.
I was drinking Brewdogs, which is what I always used to drink when I was doing the Champ Man streams. God, Naughty Juice. You don't need many of them. But I do like them.
I used to love Hoegaarden back in the day. That was decent beer.
I was drinking San Miguel on the way. I was even drinking Stella.
Asahi is nice.
I banned myself from Stella 20 years ago. That's how much of a state yesterday got in.
Asahi. I like a decent Asahi.
I don't mind a Peroni.
Yeah. It's basically everything.
I tell you this beer I really liked. So I had, and I had it again when I was in Germany. Krumbacher, I think it's called. German beer. I found it once in Spain. That was a nice beer. I think it's Krumbacher.
Okay, serious question. FPL Marsh, which of Sancho, Grealish and Lukaku has been the worst signing of the season? I don't think you can blame Sancho. He's just, unfortunately, signed up to a shit club.
I think it's got to be Lukaku.
Yeah, at least they went on and won the league, Man City. He contributed in the games that he played. Yeah, I think Grealish had a decent output for what he played.
I saw a stat that actually... best chance creation per 90 this season or something, actually, I think I saw. He obviously, again, I've said this so many times with Grealish, judge him in 12 months. Johnny Pringle says it all the time about City players, second season. And we might be having this conversation about Haaland, possibly next year. I think we expect him to hit the ground running, don't we, because he's of an elite level. But it might even be with him that you're looking at it, because something's got to change, right? Whether it's his playing style or City's playing style, something's got to change. It can't just be, oh, he's elite. And he is obviously elite. He's an elite finisher, probably the best around. But something stylistically from either the team, Guardiola, or the player's got to change a little bit. And it might even be that it takes more than a season before we see the best of him. My best guess would be that Jack Grealish will have a brilliant season next year. Lukaku, I just don't see it working at Chelsea. I don't see any forward ever working at Chelsea.
FPL Simo.
Sancho, bad team. It's not helpful.
FPL Simo, if you had one outlandish prediction for next season, what would it be?
Wolves to get relegated.
I'm going to go Newcastle top four.
Really?
Yeah, it's outlandish. It's got to be outlandish.
Okay.
We had a question. I've got to find it now. Where are we?
In your own time.
FPL binary. Suj, when Nketiah scored with half an hour still to play, were you worried? So I wasn't following the Arsenal game, obviously. So it's 2-1, and Nketiah scores the second. I'm like, that's fine. It's a way to go, but you know. He can't hit a barn door. He's scored in one game prior to this. Yeah, he's blanked in a few. Next time I opened the app, it was 5-1.
He must have shit himself.
Like, these guys have scored three goals. He's got there's a chance he's scored one of these three goals. Then I thought he'd be taken off for Lacazette and I was like, I've still got my clothes on, motherfuckers.
Honestly, it occurred to me about...
I am still dressed.
It occurred to me about 9 o'clock last night and I didn't even know he'd scored for Arsenal or anything. And suddenly, is he going naked? And I thought, surely if I'd have had a tag or something on Twitter.
Yeah, surely.
If Nketiah had got a couple. It took him off for 25 minutes ago, didn't they?
Yeah.
You are one lucky bastard, mate.
Am I? So we're now saying Nketiah's a world, but he scored what, two against Leeds
and one against Everton,
who leak goals for fun, yeah, and Everton that had just got themselves.
When you said it, and it's worth
and
saying,
the games that matter, what did he do against
you?
Worth
saying, you couldn't even remember if he scores three or more than three. You're so
three.
Lucky because you thought you said three.
Three
you're
or more.
So
I
lucky.
Said, yeah. But since that, so he scored two against Leeds, who leaking goals for fun, and against an Everton side that just got themselves safe and rotated.
This is
their
why
team.
It was such a
great and catch.
This is why
well
it was
done.
Such a stupid prediction because it still had Leeds and Everton at home.
If
mate.
He was any good, he'd have scored six. So yes, I still have my clothes on.
Thank God.
Apologies to the residents of.
I don't know what you're saying. You're definitely the one that'd have been filming it if he was running naked, Nico. Honestly, I'd have been sitting at home, nowhere near it.
Oh dear, Dan, the FPL fan says, "What's the link to Patreon?" I know I'm already a patron, but I'm trying to do some selling for you. I wonder if we can start giving
Cheers,
people
Dan.
commissions. Shout out to Andy. Let's talk FPL.
You mean like a refer and earn?
Yeah, why
not? I don't know if you can do that on Patreon, actually.
Andy, you know the video you posted asking for questions?
Yeah.
Andy says he wants to. I regret that.
I was so drunk.
That it's not your first take, and you recorded it. I had to go back to the start of the corridor and re-record it again because it didn't come out first.
No,
time.
It was definitely done once.
Oh, shame.
I'm sorry. I'm just a professional, and I, Andy, like yourself.
Andy says, once. Will you definitely have Haaland in game week one?
No. We don't even know what price he is.
My other prediction that was outlandish. That I was thinking about was Haaland to score 30 Premier League goals next season.
He's certainly capable. He's capable of busting everything
that
we've known or seen in the Premier League.
The other one.
He's very capable. He is capable in that team, if it works out right, he is capable of the sort of numbers we would have expected from Ronaldo's and Messi's in their peaks. Like, genuinely, I think he has it in him to be like a 50, 60 goal a season forward. I really do. But it might take a little bit of time. I can't tell you if I'm going to have him. Depends on his price. What are you going to do if he's 14 million? Is he definitely in?
Nah.
Because at that price, you're capped him most weeks. I'm sorry, there's still... What happens if Haaland's 14 and Mo Salah's... They'd go, oh, actually, Haaland's here now. I'm going to drop Mo Salah back down to 12 or 12 and a half or something, which they won't. No, I couldn't make that decision for you.
Late riser, Mr. Late Riser says...
If he's like 10 million or something, then yeah, he's in.
What would mean more to you, Spurs winning the league or UEFA Champions League?
League.
It's harder. 38 games, look, home and away.
The reality is, I saw my team fluke get into a Champions League final. Well, I'd say fluke's unfair, but there were miracles happened in that journey, right? Over 38 games, you are definitely the best team. Definitely the best team. Manchester City deserved to win the Premier League. And there's not a doubt to say... You know, if Liverpool win the Champions League, they deserve to win the Champions League. But and Liverpool have had some amazing runs where they beat some big teams in previous years. The reality is the run they've had this year has been quite soft. We're looking at a position where they've beat, Inter, Benfica and Villarreal to get to a Champions League final. I mean, that's a pretty good run. So in a cup competition, certain things can obviously go your way. If you win the league title, you're the best.
Matt L, if football didn't exist, what would be your favourite sport?
Really, I think I'd be a complete degenerate full-time gambler. So poker. Yeah.
So I'd probably
be homeless.
Something where you have to sit down is a sport for you. Let's open this up to a people's poll one day. Are darts, snooker, are they sports? You know,
chess.
Anything you don't have to sweat. I don't consider a sport. I think if it's a sport, you've got to sweat. If you can play it and not break a sweat, then it's a game.
So darts is definitely a sport then?
It's a game.
Darts players, boom, throwing out, you're definitely going to sweat.
They sweat because they're drinking at the same time.
They're not. That's all old style.
All right. Let me
snooker.
Okay, let me rephrase it.
The amount of walking you do playing snooker.
Okay. Anything where being fitter, physically fitter, will help you, you can consider a sport.
Most darts players now will be fit.
Yeah, do you know? At the moment, I'm getting more and more into UFC and the MMA scene. That's the most interesting sport outside of football. These guys. Are hard bastards. You look at them pummeling the crap out of each other and you just think like one punch from one of them would kill us.
This is violence. This is not a sport.
This is like...
Yeah, okay,
that's physical peak is that, right? Where the potential outcome at the end of a football match is you might get Champions League and a few hundred million. The potential outcome of this is you'll have limbs broken. Like the level of madness. And do you know what I love about it as well is the backstories of the characters. Like you think about backstories of footballers, whatever, forget about it. Some of these guys, like the backstories of the way that they have been raised to be so brutal is drama in itself. So you have all of these stories within it. So I'm going to go with that MMA and
is
UFC
this the scene. Beginning of Planet UFC?
I don't think so. To be honest with you, my knowledge of UFC is like low, but then I was going to say it's sometimes my knowledge of football. So fuck it. We've managed to flag a podcast out of that. I think longer term, definitely, that whole combat sport space is really interesting. Then you look at like, you level in the other stuff like boxing, and you look at like the likes of Mike Tyson at the peak of his career and stuff. These guys were mean. I think that would be it, because I don't think I'm particularly, I used to like rugby a fair amount. Just not that engaged anymore.
I don't care for other sports. Sorry. I'm a glory hunter. Rugby World Cup's on. I'm interested. Cricket 2020. I'm interested. Yeah, I'm one of them. Darts, I only watch it when it's the Worlds. Snooker, I only watch it when it's the Worlds. I'm a glory hunter with other sports.
Nick Griffith, what's the best flavour of Walker's crisps?
Salt and vinegar.
I flip, you know.
I'm going to throw one in there, though. Tomato.
They don't have them all the time, no. Tommy K. I flip. Like, sometimes you really want a nice salt and vinegar kind of taste. Generally, by default, I'll go cheese and onion. But also prawn cocktail. I feel like prawn cocktail sits in the middle of cheese and onion and salt and vinegar.
Worcester sauce are good and all.
Yeah, they're decent. Again, not readily always available. But yeah.
Yeah, sort it out, Tesco.
Right, I'm just looking through these questions.
I saw one there that says, is Suj something? Why didn't you
cover it? Is Suj on pens next week?
It's by FPL Corf. Is Suj on pens? Jesus Christ.
Listen. Anybody that buys both me and James in... I want to do something for North Be South, charitable, but I can't figure out what to do.
You've spent a fortune on sponsoring the shirts, mate.
Wait, let me finish. Yeah, that was good. No, like, personally, I want to do something which is tied into the points we score in fantasy, game week 39 fantasy. For anyone that hasn't registered, it's on gaffer.io, right? GAFFR.
What are you going to do? Donate a pound a point you get.
Well, this is the thing. But then say, like,
you might as well just put £1 in the jar now.
Yeah,
mate.
But what if 500 people pick us? That's 500 points, right? So per, like, I want people to pick us, James.
You idiots.
Now, I want them to pick us in their team.
Listen, if you want to have the best score of the game week, don't pick us. I'm not joking.
Maybe we'll do it, and then we'll just put a cap
on it. Listen, I don't know if it's going to a penalty shootout, if it's a draw, right? If it goes to a penalty shootout and Suj is on the pitch at the time, I'm telling you, Sham's taking one before Suj is.
Nah, mate.
Sham's the goalie.
Nah, mate. You say that. You were impressed last week. And anybody needs the nicker, you can find that clip.
Do you know what? That's true. Actually, you're much better than I thought you'd
be. Fine on pens,
I
mate.
Saw you doing them Morris dancing kick-ups, and I thought, no way, Suj kick ball. But actually, you're right.
There's a difference between tricks and flicks and actually playing football, isn't there?
Suj described himself, we had a training session last weekend. Do you remember what you described yourself as?
No, I described Kevin De Bruyne as the ginger Suj and Shah.
You described yourself as a utility man.
Utility man.
You said that about yourself.
Utility man. James Milner of football. I'll play anywhere. But then in that practice game, I was midfield, left back, right back, depended whoever wanted to take a rest and be subbed off. I don't know what to do about this, but I want to do something for Game Week 39 to encourage people to pick us in their fantasy team for Gaffer Dart.
But they shouldn't.
No, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They should.
They shouldn't.
Let's do something. Like,
the only reason, what price are you?
4.5 million midfielder. But I don't want to be picked on the bench. I want you to pick and play both of us. I don't want it to be pick one or the other. You've got to pick both. What are you? Five and a half?
I think I'm five.
Five. So between us, that's 9.5 million.
Let me tell you, that's 0.5 too much.
Listen, you can afford us both and pick us both and start us both.
Suj,
forget signing up to Patreon to show your love.
If you join Gaffer and you want to pick a fantasy team, the best pick between me and Suj is Suj, because it's cheaper.
We're both unlikely to get any returns, and my plan is to get a red card. So yeah, definitely pick us, and I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to ask Benny to run the stats on Friday. Maybe if he's listening, he might bring it to the pod that he's recording with you. I want to know how many people have picked us. In the but fantasy game.
You can go in and look.
Oh, is it team selected by?
It's ownership, yeah.
Okay, good. I need to set up my own team. I'm going to pick both of us.
Anyway, join
captain
on that podcast.
I'm going to captain
tomorrow.
You, James.
You're
no pressure.
Captain me.
No pressure. I'm going to captain you.
Lock in that two-pointer, mate.
Oh, mate. And is my name in the game Suj and Shah or Suj and Sahar?
Who called you Sujan Sahar?
That was Doodles, wasn't it, when he did the graphic?
Oh, yeah, yes. Class. No, you are in as Sujan Shah, I believe.
Okay, fine. Listeners, that's your questions. Obviously, we're going to be covering off a much bigger Q&A next week as well, because we've got a bit of time to kill and no football chat. But I mean, we'll cover off Champions League final, of course, for the Scousers.
Yes, we will.
I mean, for them, if they win the Champions League, they've had the season of all seasons, isn't it, really, other than winning the league?
That's obviously an incredible achievement, obviously, if they win the three trophies. There is a lot of relieved people this morning know that they did not win the league and therefore cannot do the quadruple. I'm thinking particularly Manchester United fans are very relieved, I think.
Yep. Listeners, stay safe, look after yourselves. Thanks for all your support this season. I hope you got the finish that you wanted yesterday. And if you didn't, don't worry, it's probably only about 8-10 weeks before you can start tinkering with your team again.
That long? Game would be open in about 3 weeks or so. Fixtures are out 16th of June.
Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. I'd say play it your way, but it doesn't matter now. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.